that.
Hey, Dre, rocking the glasses tonight. Huh, Dre?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna rock and roll. Ray got his Georgia Tech on. You ready for March Madness? Yeah. What's that, JC? What you got there, fam? You?
You already know. We swept them boys. All right.
HBCU in the house.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm beating up on my Louisiana schools, though.
Hey, bring that broom out. I had to shoot them boys up. Shoot them all about a cool race. Shoot them up.
Hey, fellas.
What's up, Lou? Oh, man, again, all welcome to the amazing edition to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are pleased to have you along this amazing journey once again. Today is March the 16th, we are really, really flying by this month, but I got to tell you, fellas, I'm excited that March Madness is here. Man, last year, oh, my God, that was kind of painful. So I know we were going through the pandemic, but just missing the fact that March Madness, I'm sure you guys have been entering brackets.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Can I ask a dumb question, though?
Good.
Usually, it's Thursday is starting the first round, but this year they made it Friday to Monday. Is there any reason behind that, or was this just a random decision?
I don't think it's random. I think just like JQ said, I think it's more COVID-driven, you know, with all the games being played on one site this year. You know, normally, though, that first four is usually Tuesday and Wednesday night.
There it is. So, anyway, I know we're
going to get it.
For those of you all that are working from home, hey, Friday and Monday is going to be beautiful days.
We're still working from home. We're still kind of in this pandemic a little bit. We're still kind of getting
ready
to get
done. How much work y'all get done on those days?
weekend,
too.
Oh, man, it's going to be fantastic. So, again, I'm just excited to get that back, too. Just, having those Thursday games, having college basketball, just filling out like we talked about those brackets. And again, Rob, thank you for
and
filling out your bracket
team
challenge.
In the tournament.
Yeah, a lot of good teams in there. Like I said, excited about my Tech guys that made the tournament in 28 years. So it's good to see them in the tournament as well. We won the ACC championship. That's why I'm rocking the Georgia Tech gear. It's been long overdue, but those New York point guards again, some way, somehow, we always get it done, man. So a shout-out to the player.
That Alvarado kid,
Moses Wright.
He's a feisty little
Alvarado.
Dude.
Yeah, it's good to have that.
That's
a
feisty
little
dude.
Anyway, we're having fun. JQ, congrats to your squad as well, pulling off the one-point win, if you will. And I know you're pretty much upset about losing John Ross as well. We'll talk about that later, man. So from the Bengals fan.
Good riddance.
Oh, where did he go? I haven't heard that one.
I went to the Giants.
I'm just giving a hard time. There's some interesting moves. Andy Dalton signing with the Bears. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, gentlemen. This is going to be a great, great night. Looks like Curtis and Gary are kind of crying because they don't have Andy Dalton there to help them out. So, they're looking kind of serious right now. What's up, guys?
That was a punt.
I tell you what, though, I guess the gray ain't doing me too bad because I'm the only one out here without no glasses on. So I'm gonna take that. I guess my eyesight is still pretty good. Everybody else got their glasses on. I can still see. But it's all good, man. I got a chance to see my Rottweilers in action. got to see my Rottweilers in action. I worked with those fans at Cool Ray this weekend. With a fan, we played Grambling at Cool Ray. And they swept them loose. They had boys right up out the building. So, always a good weekend when that can happen. So I figured I'd go ahead and rock that orange and green for y'all tonight. But, you know, outside of that, I'm doing good, bro. You know, congrats to Georgia Tech. I was pulling for them because, you know, at Florida State. But I took it before to the Final Four. But, you know, it's all good, man.
Rob, what's up, man?
Hey, yo, doing great. Ready to have a great night of sports. We got a lot to talk about, as you mentioned. We almost a year removed from the start of the pandemic when, you know, the NBA shut down, college basketball shut down. So it's an exciting time to be having March Madness. It's an amazing event, even for the people that are not, you know, big college basketball fans. Sometimes seeing those mid-majors and small schools going up against the big Power Five conferences, it's always exciting, especially these first couple of rounds. So it's an exciting time to have this a special event back. And so, yeah, it's exciting. You know, had some lettuce wrap burgers this evening. You know, no bread. And what did y'all think I had as a side item with it? French fries, right?
No. Did you have asparagus, Rob?
Yes. We already know what it is.
Just go ahead and get some stock. You know, it's all good. Man.
Get some carbs in.
Look at the two of them are in separate locations, but let's check in with them. West Coasters, what's going on? I'll start with Curtis. How you doing, bro?
You guys forgot what the big deal is. People didn't get the chance to gamble on their bracket. It's bracket time. Let's make some money. You guys know who's going to go where and how. Let's beat the brackets that are down. And you guys don't live in a city like Portland, Oregon. Tomorrow, Portland, Oregon is a big day. St. Patrick's Day. For some reason, in Oregon, in Portland, everybody beats the Irish. I was in line one time at an Irish bar, and some idiot asked me why I was in line at an Irish bar. And I told him my last name is Nick Daniels. I probably got more Irish than you ever had in your ass. And you're about to get my foot in.
You finally got Jerry to put a smile on his face.
Oregon State won the Pac-12 Conference. First
hey,
time
I got him up
ever.
In Tennessee in the first round, too.
We're at different locations. I'm on his love seat, and he's on the couch. So we're in the same location. So we're just, we just thought we would try and, you know, he hadn't been on his computer for a long time, and so we thought we'd get him up and running, and, you know, and we're both, you know, we're so tech-savvy, you know, that, it was a disaster, but we made it happen. So
yeah, we're
very proud
of ourselves.
Made
it, had a whole
hour to do it. Amazing.
So we're senior citizens, Curtis and I. I'm 61 as of the 13th. So
wow,
I got one more year. Yeah,
happy birthday, bro.
Yeah, happy birthday. Man, I thought you were
next week. Our good friend, Bruce, that you guys have met online, his birthday is on the 14th. Mine's on the 13th. And my mom's is on the 15th. So the three of us, you know, with our families and friends, we basically celebrate, you know, in the pandemic time, we celebrate the whole month of March doing something. This year's a little different, but
that birthday.
It's still been fun. So it's good
Real quick to you, shout out to my niece and my nephew. My niece is born on Thursday, so my nephew is born tomorrow. So
nice.
March
there it is.
In the house.
That's Mark Davies are the house. There it is.
Yeah, he's going to be an alcoholic. His birthday is on St. Patrick's Day. He is destined to be a full-blown alcoholic.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
You know,
there
we don't want
no
to be
yeah,
that.
Come on, man.
That.
As a dude being born on March 17th, he is going to get it in when he gets older, and I am here for it. I'm just like, hey, bro, be safe.
I'll be celebrating.
21st birthday is going to be crazy. It's going to be epic.
Woo! Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
We always do Roll Call America, so checking in with the fellas. Lou, you doing good as well?
Thanks. Yeah.
Awesome.
My birthday is next Friday, actually.
Happy birthday
okay.
as well, man.
Oh,
well,
man.
Mark's in the house.
We're not talking about Mark. Man.
Birthday's
you know,
all around.
And I'm getting
that's
up there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mine's
happy
21st,
man.
Too.
How about that? Yeah, that's what's up. Look at that. A lot of love. I got a lot of time to go to see you. We'll be here all day doing roll call about that, too. But we're having fun. We're getting so started here. As always, throwing the numbers for the show. It's always the same. Every single time I'm going to call into your boys, reach out to us. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, as we always do, which is 12 Man Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena. Again, shout out to Rob for always, always putting some mock draft. Mock draft 21.0 is actually out, so we appreciate you as well. For fodder, I know we were talking about the Trey Lance workout, and I told Rob I'm pretty sure that you have another mock draft in there too, but we'll talk about that as we get closer along for that too. So we're excited. And just to let you know, JQ, these glasses are to the rest of my eyes because, again, I look at the computer all day, so it's a good way for me to kind of block a lot of those UV rays too, man. So I just want to throw that out
your
there.
Your ass is blind
well,
like the rest of them. I don't want to hear no excuses.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Mine too. UV rays. Yeah. Right, Rob? It's the UV rays that we're worried about? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah okay.
Studious, man. Come on, man.
I ain't
going to
lie about mine.
You look, man. You know, so go ahead.
I've been wearing glasses since I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, man. So without further ado, with JQ talking about me, again, I was trying to, like, have a new look and have some fun. You know, let's talk about coming right out the gate, guys, NBA. And the first topic is, will there be a female coach in the NBA? And, this is definitely, I'm going to say definitely right around the corner, man, because, again, Becky Harmon has done some spot coaching for the Spurs, if you will. So I'm pretty sure
yes.
It's not far away. So I'll start with you, Rob.
Not
if
all.
You go around the West Coast, and you know, so yeah, I don't think it's it's probably going to be sooner than we think. So go ahead, Rob, with that, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. Becky Hammon has been kind of like Greg
Hammond. Thomas, yeah, my bad.
Right hand coach, on the sidelines here the last few years. So you would have to think she might be the first one. I think it will happen, and I think it actually will be a beautiful thing for the NBA. To at some point have a female head coach in the league. And, Becky Hammon will be the prime candidate for it. And another one to watch, too, is Dawn Staley. She's been straight up phenomenal at college level, coaching at
great
University
coach
of South
Carolina.
Love yeah, her. She has been flat out phenomenal. I know she's in the college game now. Becky Hammon is already in the NBA game. Teresa Weatherspoon, assistant coach for the Pelicans. She's another one. Great. Basketball player on the college level, great basketball player at the NBA level as well. So, she's another one to watch as well. And then we got a few others. I did some research here. Lindsey Gottlieb, assistant coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. Maybe not as acclaimed as the Becky Hammon, Teresa Weatherspoon, or Dawn Staley, but she's another one to watch. And then, of course, Jennifer Bousquet from the Dallas Mavericks as well. So another female assistant coach that a lot of people are not familiar with in the league. But if you're looking at it, yeah, I would have to say Becky Hammon could be the first. She's still fairly young in her 40s. Teresa Weatherspoon, of course, and Dawn Staley from South Carolina. She's willing to make the jump to the NBA at some point. To me,
she will
probably be the top of the list for being a head basketball coach in the NBA at some point. But I think it will be a beautiful thing to happen at some point, and I think it will.
Do you think it will happen next year?
No.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't. I think it's one of those things where it's going to be hard to crack that glass ceiling. I think it's great that they've been elevated to, you know, the assistant head coaches and Don Sutter's case being the head coach of South Carolina. I'll never say never. I hope it happens in my lifetime. But, you know, when we see
not
the decision makers
though,
like
huh?
we see happen in the NFL and the NBA, I just – until I see it, I just don't believe it. I would hope it happens. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not qualified. They should make it. But a lot of times we get to these pieces. It's like Eric Bieniemy. We all thought Eric Bieniemy would already be a head coach. He's still an assistant head coach right now.
Right.
So I look at that and I say, not to throw water on the party. I hope that it happens. I just don't believe that those owners, when they sit around and make that decision, as much as they claim to be progressive and want to elevate it, that's a decent jump still to have a woman be in charge of a men's basketball program at the highest level as the NBA. So I would love to see it. I just don't think it's going to happen as soon as we see on this call. I think it's going to happen given those people that Rob just named where they are currently. I'll be shocked. I'd be happy if it happened, but I'll be shocked if it happened in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. I just don't know if that's going to happen. I think it's going to take a little bit more time or maybe some restructuring from organizations. That's just me personally, and I'll be the first one to get on this show and say I was wrong. I just see the way that, you know, we get excited about these hot assistant head coaches, like, oh, they're going to be the next wave. They're going to make it, and then they don't because they don't fit the criteria to profile when push comes to shove and it's time to make a decision. So as much as I would love to say that it's going to happen and be imminent, I just don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. I definitely don't know if it's imminent, but I can see it happening at some point. But when is the big question. You're right.
Yeah.
I do believe that it's a ways off. I hope it's soon. You know, there are women out there that deserve it. But when you're dealing with trying to break through that good old boy system,
yep.
You know, that's the issue that we're dealing with. Are there women that are qualified? Absolutely, I believe that they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, you know, in the NFL, you know, not hiring the coaches and, you know, sticking with the, you know, with the white coaches when they're, you know, plenty of, you know, black men out there that are more than qualified. And I think it's breaking through that barrier. I hope that it's soon. It'd be fantastic. I don't see it yet for a while, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I would definitely be pleasantly surprised.
Well,
agreed.
I don't want to go to the negative, but if they do, they better pay her the same price they pay the men coaches. We would hate to see this thing in America.
Absolutely.
And all the professional women screaming about, we don't get paid the same way the men are. You know, so if they're going to do a woman's coach, you better make the same amount of money as the men. And don't try to undercut it, because that's going to send the wrong message.
Well,
but absolutely.
That's a good point.
Movement. And it's a strong movement. Yes, there will be.
Great.
I love it.
Very good point.
Just to kind of piggyback on that, Lisa Leslie coaching for JQ's Lakers. Just want to throw that out there for you, JQ. Just a lot of love for you guys. So hope you enjoy that. And send all your emails to JQ at Talking Sports for the 12th man, by the way. Anyone you want
to
talk about?
Hey, listen. I got two daughters, and I would love to see it happen so they can see that happen in their lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I just don't know, to Gary's point of that, you know, the good old boy network and the glass ceiling, if it's imminent to happen. I think it's – you know what I came into – was that growing up, you know, when your mom would tell you, you know, you could be anything. You could be the next president of the United States. And you'd be like, yeah. But in your mind, you was like, can I? Because there hasn't been one. So, you know, but then it happened. And you're like, okay, well, it happened. So that's something that can definitely, you know what I'm saying? But until you see it happen, it's hard to really put a lot of stock into it until you see it happen. And look how long it took for it to happen. So that, to me, is not necessarily the exact same thing. But when I see that in these kind of scenarios, that's what my mind goes to when I'm like, is how soon are we really actually going to see it happen? I want it to happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm just jaded, I guess, is my final point of view on
that. Gotcha. That's all good. No, we're having fun with that. Good stuff. Hey, again, we are welcome to have the famous Naj who's just joined us as well. So, Naj, what is up, sir? We're welcome to join
us.
We're just literally talking about
if we
want to have a female head coach. But, you know, we don't have to spend too much time on that. I think we're excited to talk more or less about the NCAA tournament that's just around the corner. And, man, let's have some fun, gentlemen. Let's jump into this. I know we had a topic about can the 76ers hold off the Brooklyn Nets without Embiid. You know, if you want to say that really quickly, you know, I'm with you on that. So I'm excited to talk about NCAA because it's right around the corner, gentlemen. We have so many people on the show now. I wanted to get these topics in. So there's a lot of players and teams that are going to make their mark in the tournament here. I know we were talking about over the weekend about Cunningham. That was just Cal Cunningham that was doing his thing for Oklahoma State. So, I mean, it's just I knew I was looking at that too when I was looking at the bracket today. And so you're just kind of like
Kyle Cunningham is a totally different guy.
My apologies. Rick Pitino and Rick Pitino was like, oh my God, that's a different guy. I was literally like, oh my God, you know, so I was looking at different things too. So, yeah, we're talking about the Richard Pitino, Rob. Good job that you put that in there. That's different from Rick Pitino, obviously. I did not mean to mess up his name, but more or less, there's a lot of players. Please forgive me for messing up his name, but that we're gonna make a mark too. So I'll let you start with that too, Rob, and we'll go from there too. So my apologies. I was just looking at brackets too. So my apologies on that too. So go ahead.
Yeah,
Dre, there's no need to apologize, man. You're stepping on the joke. Let it go. Right. Let the joke breathe. What are we doing?
I got you. All good.
Hey, I got a great list of players here that I think we need to pay attention to in this tournament, not only from the tournament standpoint, but for NBA prospect standpoint too. And Cade Cunningham, you mentioned it right from the get-go. I mean, he's a guy to watch. Oklahoma State, he's definitely the consensus number one pick in the draft, a 6'8 point guard. Oklahoma State with handles. He can shoot the basketball. Got a lot of heart. Got a lot of toughness. He's got the complete package. He is the complete package. Will be the number one pick, regardless if a team needs a point guard or not, I'm pretty sure. You know, whoever gets the number one pick, I think you got to go with Cade Cunningham. You know, the opening draw in this tournament, they opened up with Liberty, right? You know, prior to the brackets were revealed, you know, Oklahoma State, to me, was a sleeper Final Four team. But here's the problem. They meet Illinois in the 3-16. If they both make it that far, they're not getting past Illinois. That's about as far as they're going to go with Cade Cunningham. So they beat Liberty. Are they either play Oregon State or Tennessee in the second round? I think they'll get by either one of those teams. But Illinois is a different story. I think Illinois can win the whole thing. I think they're that good. Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn from Illinois. Kofi Coburn is a double-double, almost averaging 19 points, 10 rebounds a game. Ayo Dosunmu averaging like 21, 22 points. Illinois is just, I said it all along, they're one of the most talented teams in the country. To me, they might be the only team that can knock off Gonzaga, maybe Baylor, but I like Illinois and Gonzaga in the championship game. And speaking of Gonzaga, I mean, you got three dudes on that team that can straight up play. Jalen Suggs may be the number two pick in the draft behind Cade Cunningham.
He's nice.
I mean, he's taking on both ends of the floor, too. I mean, he's going to pick your pocket on defense. He's got handles. He can shoot the basketball. He can get to the rack. 6'5", five-star recruit out of Minnesota. So he's a guy to watch. Corey Kispert from Gonzaga. He can straight up shoot the basketball. And then you got Drew Timmy at Gonzaga, too. You got a big man that can run the floor, 19.7 points a game, almost averaging 10 rebounds as well. So Gonzaga is a loaded team again. You know, we talked about the question mark of the competition. BYU did give him a run in a WCC championship game. But Gonzaga just came back and handled them. I like the Gonzaga Illinois national championship game. You know, that's who I'm kind of predicting to get to that that championship game. Couple other players to watch: USC Evan Mobley, probably the third pick in the draft, 7-footer, Another guy averaging close to double-double, can run the floor, and probably the best big man in his draft. I think they're a 6 seed. You know, looking at my bracket here, I got them going to the Sweet 16. I got them winning the first round game. And then Kansas is a little bit of a question mark. They had to pull out of the Big 12 tournament.
Again,
we're not even sure if they're going to have the best player, David McCormick, for the tournament. So I got USC getting past them and USC getting to the second round, led by Evan Mobley. Like I said, he was a Pac-12 offensive and defensive player of the year. He's that good. He's another guy, if you want to look at future NBA players to watch in this tournament. And if USC makes it to the Sweet 16, there's a good chance they're going to face Iowa and Dennis Garza. What's the Garza kid name from Iowa?
Garza.
Luca Garza, I'm sorry.
Luca.
I got a friend named Dennis Garza, so I got it confused. Luca Garza, who's probably been the best big man in college basketball, maybe not the best big man from a pro prospect standpoint. But he can flat out jump out and shoot the three-pointer. And then he's surrounded by a bunch of three-point shooters in Iowa, too. But I got Iowa going to the Elite Eight, getting past USC, and losing to Gonzaga. But Luca Garza is another player to watch in the tournament. Florida State, Leonard Hamilton does it every year. He's got these 6'10", 6'9", 6'11 guys, the long arms. I don't know where he finds them every year. He's got these guys that's going to go in the top 10 in the draft.
Freaking Billy Knight.
And he's got another one this year, Scotty Barnes. 6'9", probably got arms like somebody that's 7'3". He's got like a 7'2", 7'3" wingspan. And actually, he's probably the best player, but he comes off the bench. But he's going to be the number one pro prospect on their roster here. So another guy, if you haven't watched a whole lot of Florida State teams, Scotty Barnes is another one you want to watch. Moody. Moses Moody from Arkansas is another guy to watch. 6'6", guy to get it done on both ends of the floor. Tennessee has been struggling of late. They're still in the tournament. I think Oregon State's going to upset them, but Tennessee has got two really good guards that are pro prospects, and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. So their two guards are probably going to go in the top 15 in the draft. So that's another team to watch. James Booknight from UConn. He's a guy that can probably single-handedly, if he gets hot, take UConn to at least the Sweet 16. I think it's going to be tough with Alabama in the second round. I think Alabama will get by him. But I can see James Booknight keeping that game, you know, really interesting as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Alabama, Herb Jones might be one of the most versatile players in college basketball for Alabama. Can get to the rack. He can shoot it. He can defend. He's got long arms, too. Another guy to watch. I hate Alabama, but hey, you know, got to give him credit. And
I hate Alabama.
And, hey, don't leave out my LSU Bayou Bengals. When the leading freshman scorer in the country, Cam Thomas. Thomas can flat out score the basketball. He's got range like Dame Lillard and Steph Curry. He'll shoot it from half court. And so watch LSU. Michigan without Isaiah Livers. I think LSU can upset Michigan in that second round.
Right.
Michigan is an elite team with Isaiah Livers. Without them, they're a good team. I think LSU can upset them there in the second round.
I agree.
And Cam Thomas.
I had that.
Me too. I have it in my bracket, yeah. Cam Thomas can score the basketball, and LSU's got three other players, Trendon Watford, that can get to the rack and score and handle the basketball. JQ is Ohio State. EJ Liddell, another guy. Big man that can pop out, knock it down from 3-point range. He can defend as well. I got Ohio State going to the Elite Eight before falling to Baylor in that round. But EJ Liddell. And speaking of Baylor, Baylor's another team that's got a great backcourt.
Jared
Butler, who can flat out shoot the basketball and defend. And Davion Mitchell, same thing. Davion Mitchell can handle the rock. He can dish it out. He can defend. So Baylor will be led by their backcourt. So I know I've said a lot. I had a lot of notes for the NCAA tournament. So,
And I'm with you on some of those. But where you lose me is those backcourts. Listen, the tournament, big. It's great to have a big guy. Don't get me wrong. But a tournament, if you have an elite backcourt or one or two guards, they will take you much farther than people procrastinate. That's why I think that Tennessee is going to go farther than you think they're going to go to. I think Tennessee beats Oregon State. I don't think they lose to Oklahoma State because of Kay Cunningham. That's the only reason, and that's going to be a fantastic game in that 5-4. Like, I'm trying to pick some upsets, but if you have a backcourt in the tournament, you have a super solid chance because the 1 and 2 are going to take over in the tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm with you. Suggs from Gonzaga, Garza from Iowa, and I just lost it. I'm with most of that stuff. I'm 1,000% with you. I think Illinois, that big dude they got at center is just ridiculous. He's on a whole other level, and you're just like, what?
You don't want to mess with him in the paint. That dude is serious.
You don't. The only problem is that he can't shoot free throws.
He can't shoot free throws though. Yeah,
because if you saw him, he's like a 55% free throw shooter, and he let Ohio State get back in that game and get them in the overtime because he was missing free throws. That's the only downfall about having a dominant big guy that can't shoot free throws, and he's one of them. So I'm interested to see what goes on. You know what I'm really interested to see is that Virginia Gonzaga game, because Virginia plays for the past few years plays a really special brand of defense, and I love Gonzaga's shooting. But can they slow them down? Now, to me, that is one of their hardest matchups on the road to the Final Four. Virginia is going to play them and get in their chest and make them play. And they have not had a team get in their chest like Virginia is going to get in their chest. So I still pick Gonzaga, but I'm with you, Rob. I think Gonzaga goes to the Final Four and probably to the championship game. But, ooh, they got an early test in Virginia, and to me, that they have to survive.
Yeah, that's a good point. Virginia's got a couple of big men that can shoot from the outside, too. They got some stretch 4 and a stretch 5. Sam Hauser can really jump out and knock down the three-pointers, too, as well as – and he'll get nasty in the paint, too. He can defend in the paint, so he's not just a guy that's going to pop out but knock down threes. You know, he's a poor man, Bill Lane Beer. He's going to pop out and hit the jumper, and he's going to get physical with you in the paint on the defensive end, too. And he's not going to be a Bill Lane Beer in the NBA, don't get me wrong, but he's a poor man, Bill Lane Beer. But here's one thing, and JQ, you might like this comment. One thing to watch for Virginia, Virginia's got to watch Ohio in that first round. The Bobcats are a serious
upset
Virginia
State
in the first round. And,
Ohio.
I got
Ohio
Virginia
versus Ohio right now.
Getting by Ohio, but watch Ohio. They got a good chance to upset Virginia. That's a matchup to watch.
Yeah,
well,
I've got them going.
Out west, talking about who's not there. North Carolina, Kentucky.
North Carolina's in.
Duke's not in there. Yeah. So right now we're thinking it's all or nothing. If there's any type of Gonzaga to win it. If this year, you got to watch the team coming out of San Diego State. I think they've only lost 5 games. So that's pretty interesting. And I'm curious on Georgetown and what Patrick Ewing knows and doesn't know.
Long the morning, come back to that door.
I got an upset in Colorado in the first round.
Oh, no.
They got a good shot. Georgetown has been playing really well. I think they've won 10 out of their last 13 games. And so
they
got hot all of a sudden, this Georgetown team. Pat Ewing doing a really good job there motivating that team. You mentioned North Carolina. And, you know, JQ talked about guard play. That's the concern for North Carolina. They got a young backcourt, talented. But they just haven't matured yet, and that's the thing that concerns you about North Carolina. Now, not going to find too many teams in the country out-rebound North Carolina. They got 4 7-footers that can play. And so they're going to have to win on the offensive glass to have any shot. I'm a Carolina fan, but I got Wisconsin beating them just because of the youth of their backcourt, and they just haven't quite matured just yet. So I do have Wisconsin beating Carolina in the first round. You mentioned Colorado, Georgetown. Right now, I got Colorado pulling it out, but I wouldn't ask. That's the one that's real tricky. I was this close to picking Georgetown, too, because Georgetown just been playing really well of late, too. So that is a very tricky matchup, too.
You got to pick some 12-5s. It's going to happen. You got to pick some 12-5s. You got to pick some 13-4s. You got to pick them. They're going to happen.
Winthrop, Villanova is one that, like you said, that's a tough matchup, too, because I'm looking at they got a real experience.
That's a close
too, you know, like you talked about, too. So you're like, you know, like you said.
Hey, I got North Texas
got
playing Winthrop in the second round.
They got what did you say? What did you say, JQ?
Hey,
I got Winthrop and North Texas playing in the second round. It's going to happen.
Man,
you just have to pick the right one. It's going to happen.
It's tough because, yeah.
Winthrop is a very good pick. There's team. Winthrop loves an up-tempo style. They like to run and gun. And Villanova is out. Their starting point guard, Colin Gillespie, is out for the season. So that's a big bogey.
Right,
but if Villanova gets past Winthrop, they won't get past the second round. They're not going to be able to do it. If they had Colin Gillespie, they could be a sleeper for the Final Four. But without him, their starting point guard, the second-best player of the team, they won't get past the second round, and they may not even get past Winthrop. Winthrop plays a fast-paced style, and without Gillespie, that's going to be hard to keep up with.
If your bracket can survive this first week, the two on Thursday, you might be in good shape. Boy, if you mess up this first week, the next time we come on, there might be a lot of bad faces.
Gary, you know what's interesting about these brackets? You know, a lot of times the people that win these brackets
don't know shit.
People who pick the team, I know exactly. they'll win the bracket just by picking their favorite mascots. They're like, wow.
Their favorite color. Like, I like they wear red and white, so I picked them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the so-called expert.
I don't believe
that.
The lady at work that did that, she picked them by the colors, you know. It was crazy. Oh, I like that orange color. And then, I like the green team. You know, and I'm all the way through, and she ended up winning the whole thing.
It's wild. It worked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one kid that, I guess he had her six-year-old son picking, and she's like, he kept picking Butler because he thought Butler was playing. He's like, but, and they actually went to, like, the final. It was something crazy like that. It was just crazy how
2 years
ago all the picks, right? Yeah, no, no. You're like, what the hell is going on? What you got, Nosh?
Oh, no, man. Same as always. You go to work.
Yeah, like college stuff.
Yeah,
you meet
right.
One of the girls at the office. You get them the bracket, and you let them pick out the team by colors, by mascots, whatever it is they want, and turn your brain.
There you go. Yeah.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
We're over here studying, sanitizing, and it's like out the window. Like first week, oh man, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And you never know what color we might rear its ugly head.
Loyola Chicago, 11th seed, went all the way to the Final Four, and they had to play in the first. They had to play in the first four, and still made it all the way to the Final Four.
Right.
Oh
right.
Goodness gracious, Lou! Anything you got for that, Lou? Are you good, man?
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal. Like I said, you know, it's been interesting here. We got about, you know, it's 11:38 too. I know Rob. We can talk about the hire of Richard Pitino and stuff like that too. But I'm curious about. I know. I'm curious about how you feel about officially, Drew Brees has retired from the NFL here. And the reason why I'm doing this, fellas, is
no
because
surprise.
Again, as much as I hate to talk about the Saints, I actually did respect Drew until like a couple years, and he had his little thing that happened, but. You know, again, you can't talk too much crap because, again, he did have a 19-10 record versus the Falcons. And, you know, again, you know, we've intercepted him more than anyone else, though. But I'll take that to the record. But other than that, you know, he has won more against us. So, you know.
Right. That's a lot of games to play against
him. Yeah. I'm just saying, give me one damn thing, okay? So, again, I'm giving him his props. He even talked about the damn topic. So, you know, again, out of respect for him being in the division, I was clapping because I'm like, yes, you are retiring, asswipe. No, I respected Drew And
that was
so
a pretty nice
what
tweet from the Atlanta Falcons, too.
What do you say, bro?
You see the tweet
what?
From the Atlanta
what?
Falcons? That was really nice.
What?
Out of it.
I can't hear you.
You can't
what?
Hear me?
He's been an asshole. Don't pay him no mind. He's been an asshole. We can hear you.
Tweet from the Atlanta Falcons. Everybody's ready to see. They
what?
They said they congratulated Drew Brees on a great career, but we won't miss you. That's what the Atlanta Falcons tweeted.
That's pretty much
nice.
It.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll give you a prop.
Yeah.
I'll give you a prop.
Yeah, they said we won't miss you, though. But, you know, obviously Drew had a fantastic career. I mean, obviously you all saw that playoff game. His time was over. He can't get the ball down the field anymore. And, you know, and here's the thing. You know, out of all the teams that played Tampa Bay in the playoffs, it wasn't that Tampa Bay was pressuring them. The Saints offensive line was protecting them. He just couldn't get the ball down the field. And every other team Tampa Bay played in the playoffs, man, they were in Aaron Rodgers' grill. They were in Patrick Mahomes' grill. They were not in Drew Brees' grill in that playoff game. I mean, he had the Saints offensive line did a fantastic job against Tampa Bay front. They just could not get the ball down the field. And hey, the time is now. I'm really interested to see what Sean Payton is going to do with Hill and Jameis Winston. And in my personal opinion, I think Winston should be the starter, and they should use Taysom in that gadget role like he has been doing. And that's
great.
And, yeah, I'm really interested to see what Payton's going to do. Hey, 2 years ago, he's 5-0 with Bridgewater. He's 3-0 with Taysom Hill at the start. 3-1 with Taysom Hill at the start of this past year. So I'm real interested to see what's going to happen. I think they still need to get a third quarterback, maybe a young one, to develop. I don't know if that comes from the draft or free agency. Because if you're going to use Taysom, as that flex role, I think you still need to have another third quarterback on the roster if you're going to use him in that role. So I'm real interested. Hey, we're going to be able to throw the ball down the field again. So now we got to go out and get a speed wide receiver. We didn't necessarily have to do that in the past because we didn't have a quarterback that could get it down the field. So we get what we're
Brisky.
Now we got to go out and get a wide receiver that can stretch the defense. And here's the thing with Winston. I just think Winston just needs to learn how to – sometimes he just got to take those 3- and 5- and 7-yard check down plays. And that he can't just get it all in one shot. And I think if he can learn that, and if Peyton can get that to his head, I think we're going to have a quality quarterback.
Well, you know.
But I don't have
to.
I need to see it first.
Yeah, you got to give Drew Brees his respect. He's a Super Bowl champ. He came back from an injury that made the Dolphins shoot Dante Culpepper over him. And no disrespect to Dante Culpepper, but, I mean, come on. Imagine how things could have changed for Miami if they had chose Drew Brees over Dante Culpepper. But at that time, I get why they chose Dante Culpepper because the shoulder, you know, Brees' shoulder was tore up. So to be able to come back from that and have the career that he had and the records that he's had and be a Super Bowl champ, you got to give him all the respect in the world. But you know what? It really is interesting and fascinating to me now is that what happens with that division because, yes, Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's not going to play until he's 46. I don't care what he says. He probably has this next year. But now you look at it, Matt Ryan's old. Tom Brady's going to be out the door. Drew Brees is out the door. The Panthers are already saying kick rocks Teddy Bridgewater. That NFC South has just opened up to me just exponentially. Like, you're going to go ahead and get Camp of the NFC South this year. I mean, they're bringing everybody back. You got to feel like they're going to be the class of that division, especially without Drew Brees in New Orleans. But I think after this next year, that NFC South is going to be wide open. And I'm really interested to see how that plays out over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years of who takes the mantle in that division and run with it, because until Tom Brady enters the frame, as much as you love Matt Ryan, as long as the Saints had Drew Brees, you always felt like they had a leg up in the situation, even when, you know, Carolina had Cam, because Cam was more of a runner, not necessarily a thrower. He can make plays at his prime, but Drew Brees was that pocket quarterback. He can make that offense click, be efficient, take you 8-10 plays down the field, kill the clock, score a touchdown, and you're like, damn, now we got to match that. And that pressure is so much on the opposing offense to have to match him, because you know if you give the ball back to him that he's probably going to do that again. So, you know, hats off to Drew Brees, you know, riding the sunset, go to NBC, be the best commentator you can be. But I'm really interested to see over the next couple of years how that NFC South plays out now without Drew Brees out. And if we're being honest, I'm not sure how much longer Matt Ryan's going to be in Atlanta. and Tom Brady's 48 years old. So we'll see how that works out. It's wide open now. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I think you're right on this one, JQ. You know, looking at it right now, obviously free agency is not over. We hadn't gotten to the draft yet. But if you had to make a prediction on the NFC South right now, you got to take Tampa Bay number one going into the season. I will move the Saints down to two. Saints still have a very talented roster. It's just a matter of how much, you know, Sean can get out of the quarterback position. So I will move them down to two. Just current time, I'll probably have Atlanta 3 and Carolina 4. And this is just as of now, but we still got to wait and see how the free agency and the draft plays out too, right? And as of now, you mentioned Tampa Bay. They were able to get Shaq Barrett back. They were able to get Levante David back. They franchised Chris Godwin. They got Gronkowski coming back. They got Brady coming back. So they kept the coaching staff intact too. I mean, Todd Bowles, heck of a defensive coordinator. You still got him on board. The coaching staff is still intact. So on paper right now, they're healthy. They look like the odds on favorite to take the division next year.
About a lot.
Well, the problem with it is for the Saints right now is Drew Brees. High IQ football IQ guy. He didn't turn the ball over. You know, he made the right play. You know, everybody has to have game or two. I'm talking about for his career. Now you're going to guy for his career is a turnover machine. And you're putting all your ducks in a row on one guy that's been nothing but a turnover machine. Who's had good coaching,
that's fair.
Who had a decent organization around him, and yeah, Sean Payton is a great offensive mind, and I think he'll do something with him, but I think that some of those bad habits are going to creep up in there, and then you got a gadget guy. Then you got a guy that, Hill, you know, you said he won 3 games last year. Put him in there for 10 games where you can get a lot of film on him and defenses, you know, playing for his type of game. You better be drafting a quarterback. You better get a quarterback. I don't think they got one. I don't think they're second in that division.
Yeah.
You're with Winston in here. I think that they're maybe third.
Wow. Well, yeah, that, you know, if Sean Payton can get that boy straight, Sean Payton should be the coach of the season.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some boneheads. There's some boneheads with Winston. I think he can be coached, but, you know, it's amazing to be seen. And then if Deshaun Jackson or Deshaun Williams, the guy from Houston ends up at Carolina.
Watson. Deshaun Watson. Yeah.
That changes everything. That changes everything.
If Carolina gets Deshaun Watson, yeah, you can easily move them up to number two. But like I said, if we're talking right now as a mark.
Can you?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, because they still have problems on the defensive side of the ball to me as well. I don't know if I can automatically move them up to number two. I think Tampa Bay is number one with a bullet, and everybody else is playing for table scraps right now, if I'm being honest. Sorry.
No, of course.
Well, one of the things that they did that day, Tom Brady, and I guess that's leadership, he's letting them screw with that contract. And a lot of people are taking less money to be down there. And I guess that's the way you do it. If you think you're on a Super Bowl winning team, the Super Bowl is worth more than money. They're doing it down there in Tampa Bay.
They are.
Production
Nah, what you got, bro?
Well, nothing. I mean, this should be interesting. I think that whole contract thing, I think Goodell should take a pick, and I think they should be fine. The idea that you can just do whatever you want with the salary cap, if that's what it's going to be going forward, like, yo, why should anybody care about the salary cap? You can just make a magic contract and get out of everything. So, I mean, that part is kind of ugly. I feel bad for Taysom Hill because I'm sure he was under a lot of pressure to take it no matter what because they looked out for him before. As far as Jameis, I still don't understand why everybody's so down on Jameis. Still former number one pick. And with a great offensive mind and Sean Payton, I think Jameis can be really good, probably special. I'm not going with this whole Jameis terrible idea. I just don't believe it.
Hey, guys, it's not that.
Sean Payton speaks very highly of him. You know, I still
I'm not saying that about Jameis. I'm not saying that. He's next day, number one pick. He's talented, but Sean Payton can't be in his brain to make the decision that he was making in Tampa, where he was going all for broke, where he was just like, it's either a 50-yard pass or an interception. I don't think anybody says he doesn't have talent. Jameis Winston has talent. Don't get me wrong. Is that, hey, is he mature enough to say, like Rob said, that if the big play is not there, let me check it down and live to fight another day. And you see him when he was in Tampa. He didn't live by that credo. He was like, bump it. Bombs away. Go get him, player. I'm going to throw it in the triple coverage. You go get him.
Come on, go catch it.
And you're right. Brett Favre was the greatest gunslinger of all time. He threw in triple coverage. Everybody thought he was the greatest for throwing in triple coverage, and they killed Jameis Winston for the same thing. And I will give you that. But if we're being objective about it, I feel like he's got the talent, but I think he just has to, you know, just mature on some of his decision-making. He can make all the throws to me, but he's got, like Rob said, he's got to be able to take that check down to the tight end or to Alvin Kamara in the flat and say, okay, being on the field for second and five as opposed to throwing an interception 30 yards down the field, it's still okay to be second and five and not necessarily trying to make the big play every play. That's my only question mark for Jameis Winston. It's got nothing to do with his talent.
Yeah,
he has the talent.
I get that.
Yeah.
Look, I wouldn't compare him to Brett Favre ever. Brett Favre has all-time arm strength, and he could get away with some of the stuff that Jameis can't just because physically Jameis can't do what Brett can do. But I'm just saying this. I just think it's easier to throttle down a guy who's way too risky and makes a lot of mistakes than it is to get a guy like Alex Smith to actually take some chances and be a little more risky. You see what I'm saying?
I agree.
I think you can get him to pull off the gas a little bit. I don't think that's a hard project for Sean Payton to take on. So that's why I'm saying. But, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I just want to make the clarification. I'm not saying that he's a bum. I was never saying Jameis Winston is a bum. He's got the talent. It's just can he in that moment when he's down 7 points, he's like, I got to make a play. Will he take that check down and live to try to drive the ball and make go 4 or 5 plays to try to get that home run play like you used to see him doing Tampa? Like he threw for 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, he threw 30 interceptions because he was like, roll the dice, snake eyes or nothing. You know what I mean? Like it was all or nothing for him. I just want to see him mature to can he take that small play and listen, take that second or third down and then take that shot when it's open as opposed to always trying to make it. That's my only question mark with Jameis. The talent is there, no question.
Taking care of the football is going to be his number one responsibility. Being smart in decision-making, processing information fast. The one thing that Drew Brees was really good at, when he dropped back the pass, that ball was out. Your chances of sacking him was slim because he processed information fast and he got rid of the football. And that's what Winston's going to have to do. And like you said, make the simple throws sometimes. You just can't. The key with Winston, the thing that he's going to have in his favor, is he's got personnel around him. He's got the elements in there. He's going to have a healthy Michael Thomas back next year. He's got one of the better offensive lines in the league. And so he's going to have the personnel around him to whereas he doesn't have to be the superstar. When he was in Tampa, he had to be that guy, right? Well, right now he doesn't have to.
In his mind.
Yeah. He just has to take – the number one thing is going to be take care of the football. And if he can do that with the personnel that he has around him, that's why I still pick the Saints second in the division.
I mean, you still got to give Tampa the number one spot just because they've been able to keep the entire team intact. But that's the reason why I put, as of now, on this date, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen with free agency in the draft, but I would still have to put Saints number two in the division because of the personnel around them that he has with him right now. He's still got some big-time defensive players, Marshawn Lattimore. You had to keep Marcus Williams. You got Cam Jordan. You got Marcus Davenport. You got David Onyemata, DeMario Davis. And you lost Trey Henderson to the Bengals, and that's probably the biggest blow. And we knew we could,
yeah,
out of Marcus Williams and Trey Henderson, we knew we could only keep one of them. And so you had to make the tough business decision. And Marcus Williams was a smarter choice to keep. But, yeah,
great.
Other than losing Trey Henderson, you know, you have to find a way to get some more depth as far as pass rushing is concerned. But the personnel is around them.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, before I go, I just want to shout out my starting on show. I have a show called the Enhanced Sports Show. I might have mentioned it once before, but I'll refresh it again. We're on Saturdays 5 to 7 p.m. at East Coast time. The number to call is 512-543-4662. I'll say it again, 512-543-4662. And we handle, just about everything in the world of sports. We'll cover college basketball this week. We'll cover the NBA. NFL is making a lot of moves. I got some interesting MLB news to mention. Although I may have to regret the story, I'll mention it. I'll be like, so if you got time between 5 and – if you call in, I'll explain. So if you have time between 5 and 7 Saturday, feel free to do so. If you do call, I guarantee you will get in.
Nice. Appreciate that, Lou. Thanks for calling in as always.
And I'll explain about the baseball story if you do call.
Gotcha.
Nice.
You might like
Good
it.
Deal.
I might regret,
appreciate
it.
You might regret it. I might. We appreciate you as always, man. good stuff. Thanks, Lou, for always popping in and showing some love and everything like that, too. Man, we got about 3 minutes left in the show officially. I know we got to get ready for the OT portion. We're not going to spend too much time in the OT because I know you guys are probably tired. But Curtis, Gary, if you want to kind of chime in real quickly before anything we'll talk about for free agency time, if you will, the floor is yours, gentlemen.
Couldn't it be, didn't the Washington Redskins, or I'm sorry, the Washington football team just pick up a quarterback?
Yeah,
Fitzmagic.
Magic. They got
Fitzmagic. I'm excited about that. That's like another Winston there. That's fantastic.
He's going to whoop y'all ass. He's going to whoop y'all ass.
Oh,
I said
that.
Wait a minute. Everybody hold up. Dak is now the best quarterback.
I kind of agree with JT. That was a solid move.
Dak Prescott.
Very solid.
It is new contract. He is now the best quarterback in the NFL East. Go Cowboys.
The Washington football team might have the best defense in that division, but you got to watch the Giants too. The Giants played very well on defense on the defensive end toward the end of the season too, and they just kept Leonard Williams with a 3-year, $63 million contract. But hey, I think that's a solid move. I mean, Washington's picking number 19 overall. It's gonna be tough for them to get one of these quarterbacks. So they got a guy that can come in and fill in the gap for the time being. They won the division. They're gonna be right there in the mix. I think any one of those four teams can win a division. I really do. I think a year with Jalen Hurts with Philly and getting him some weapons and getting him some help, and then of course Dallas getting Dak Prescott back is gonna keep them in the mix. And then the Giants. I think the Giants are gonna be right. That division is up for grabs. And as of right
Great
now,
Nate.
I can't say. Yeah. But don't count out Washington. It's a very solid, sneaky move by getting Ryan Fitzmagic. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll finish talking a little football in our OT portion. We thank you all for tuning in to our another live edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We appreciate you all tuning in, and we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook and Twitter. Let us know if you agree with us or disagree with us. Let us know what you think about the NFL free agency, March Madness, second half of the NBA season. We would love to hear from you all. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show for next week. Next week, we'll be back on Tuesday night, people. Tuesday night. It's going to be what? March the 23rd. March the 23rd, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends out in Portland and Seattle, Vancouver, Canada, Whistler, Canada. We'd love to hear from you all.
Albuquerque, stand up. Bloom Festival. But now we're in the OT portion, so I got to, you know, do the rest of it. Can I just talk about this for a second? I love, and I hate the Patriots, but I love what Bill Belichick is doing in New England. Listen, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, you can say what you want to. If you give Cam Newton the ability to check the ball down and to run it, and they must try and go get Leonard Fournette or Chris Carson to augment that run game, listen, you can say what you want to. That defense may not be that Patriot defense that carried them all those years, but I love the aggressiveness by the Patriots and free agency. That dual tight end, since Gronk and Hernandez, they're bringing that back. If they mess around and finally hit on a wide receiver and free agency or in the draft, brother, I like what Bill Belichick is doing. He took that shit personally, that Tom Brady just went out to court. He said, oh, yeah. Hey, bro, we're going to cut some checks this week. They have cut some checks. And I'm just I love it. And I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but – he took that shit personally, and I like what they did. It's small ball, not in terms of the money, but small ball in terms of the personnel decisions they made and how they want to construct their offense around a Cam Newton and maybe potentially a young quarterback. Let's go get them two really good tight ends. Let's potentially go sign another good running back. And you know Bill Belichick is going to try to do everything he can to play good defense. Small ball, you know, shorten the game. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I've really enjoyed what he's done. I'm interested to see what happens in that AFC East this year, for sure.
Yeah. To me, so far in the free agency, you got to give the Bucks and the Patriots or the winner so far. And I agree. Cam Newton had nobody on that team last year, and he's been out and got in some help big time. You know, you make the trade to get the tackle back, Trent Brown from the Raiders. You lose Joe Tooney, that's a big hurt. But then you get the two tight ends, as JQ mentioned. You went out and get Nelson Aguilar from the Raiders, give him another wide receiver. You know, you may going to need to get a weapon in the draft, too, to help out. I mean, if you get a Carson or a Leonard Fournette, too, and they're going to have a good defense. I mean, so we know that already, right? Bill Belichick, he'll take yours and compete on the defensive side of the football. And so they're going to be competitive, but I think they're putting the perfect personnel for Cam Newton. I mean, last year Newton had no help, so I mean they're giving Newton another shot, but they're also giving him some weapons around him to see what he can do. So it's going to be real interesting.
And long term.
Buffalo went out and got Emmanuel Sanders today, give them another weapon too. So that'll
be
interesting.
Did they?
Yeah, they got him on a 1-year deal. And that gives Buffalo another weapon on an offensive end, too. And then Miami, what is Miami going to do here? You know, obviously you got a Tua, and Miami's got a ton of draft picks. And they got two in the first round, so they got an opportunity to improve their football team even more.
Yeah, Houston.
Even after going 10-6 last year. So it's going to be real interesting, too. And right now you got to think the Jets will still bring up the rear. You know, we have to see what they do with Sam Dalton. They'll see what kind of Sam Darnold, I'm sorry. See what they can do with a trade there. And
Sam
again,
Dalton.
Zach Wilson.
And Dalton.
Zach Wilson coming in as a rookie, you know, you can't, you know, on the surface, you can't expect him to come in and make that big of a difference in year one. So I can see a three-team race in that division between the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Bills.
I could say I'll make the playoffs.
All three?
I said it.
Wow. Okay.
I wouldn't doubt it. I think they all capable, that's for sure.
Let Nas get in his thoughts before stuff like that. Free agency, if you will.
No, man, we're just seeing, like, the teams that prepare for this and already have money. They're spending like crazy. We're seeing the typical NFL stuff where the so-called smartest guys in the room aren't signing obvious players who they should sign. So that part will, of course, come back to bite everybody as we look at these receivers who are sitting on the sidelines right now who could be got for very little. But, you know, this is what it is, man. That boy Pace, remember, or whatever his name is out there in Chicago, he got executive of the year. His first year as GM. Now that man has a quarterback room with Andy Dalton.
Nick Foles. Nick Foles and players can be named that. And they can't give up too much. They don't have enough in draft capital and without sacrificing players on that defense to go get Russell Wilson. And this is why I say that about the AFC. You're going to get the four division winners, probably Kansas City, Baltimore, Indianapolis, say Buffalo. That's four, right? Then you count Miami and New England, two of the wild cards. And you just throw the third one up in the air for, you know, Pittsburgh or Tennessee to compete for. I really think that's where the AFC is right now. I really do, because you look at Oakland has got rid of the whole offensive line. Denver's still not there. The Chargers are still young. The Bengals ain't going to make it. Jaguars ain't going to make it. Like, and the Jets will bring up the rear as well. Like, I think that's your AFC right there. You got those eight teams I just named going for seven spots. I think that's your AFC playoff picture right now if I had to forecast it.
Right. It's going to be tough. But the Seattle thing, why are we assuming Seattle wants to trade Russell Wilson? I understand all the rumors and everything. Why are we assuming they want to trade him? If you got
because he
hates
Pete Carroll and his
Wilson, yeah, well, that's what I was going to get into. Do you want 5 years, next year, 5 years of Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson? Because I think Russell wins the fight in that building. If this is supposedly a knockdown, drag-out fight where they can't coexist anymore, I think eventually Russell wins. Why the hell you want Pete's old ass the next 5 years, bro? Like, I don't really see that happening, man.
I agree with that.
Magic Johnson versus Paul Westphal in the early 80s. Who did the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yep. And they picked the right side.
Pete, he's a Hall of Fame coach and all of that, but he's an older guy.
God.
Russell Wilson, to a certain degree, man, he is this generation of Seattle. You can say what you want to say. Some of the Legion of Boom players are probably better overall players, but as a franchise, man, you kind of want to end Russell Wilson as a Seahawk. And I don't see Pete being a big enough problem.
Yeah.
Man. I think the owners sit them down. Say, look, y'all going to work out something or one of y'all got to go. And it ain't the dude that throws the football.
By one of y'all, I mean you, Pete Carroll.
Only problem is Sierra said there's no R&B stations in Seattle to play her music.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Never underestimate the wife.
That's actually a
phone call can be made to get her songs played. But let's be honest, that's not the trouble in getting her songs played. Like, let's come on now.
That's also a true statement.
Oh my gosh, Curtis,
uh-oh,
Jerry,
Gary,
what y'all
Gary,
got?
I'm asleep.
I know. What y'all got before we wrap this up?
One, two,
there's so many ifs and buts in football, and all these moves and all the moves that they're going to make, and who's going to outsmart who in the draft. That's why we love this football. There's a lot of unknowns. The Cowboys should win their division, but do they, and have they lately? We don't know. Is that the coach for the Cowboys? That's one thing I don't know. And can Jerry stay out of the way? And I do know he probably can't. But he really needs to. So that's the problem with the Cowboys. Seattle, they're going to go forward with Russell Wilson. And you know, Shaq and Kobe didn't always get along, and they went and got three rings. So it might be Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson thing. But Russell needs to get another ring before it gets too late.
Should have had two. Run the ball to Marshawn. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Curtis has an idea on that whole play anyway. Well, I mean, there's some things that have been manipulated. But I didn't believe the NFL was not going to give Marshawn that MVP. So, help God. And I think the NFL, I think they called both things. I think the NFL called both things.
And I kind of agree.
And so, Belichick, Marshawn is not going to get the MVP of the season. He just isn't. So you better
stick with your mental.
My very unpopular opinion,
Pete Carroll was right. There was nothing wrong with the play. Yeah. It just ended up in the worst disaster ever, but that's just the outcome. But it was a good call. You stop the clock, you still have a chance to run the ball. Pete did nothing wrong.
Yeah. NFL caught both inches.
Wow.
Yeah, Marshawn.
Wow.
No. What is Marshawn going to make us look like if Marshawn wins that game for us?
Yeah, hey, Pete, you got a phone call over here. You want to take it?
You got it.
Nah, I mean,
it's a commission.
You want to take it? I'll open that.
I'm going to get it, so I'll get fine.
Stop trying to make me go full villain. I'm trying to be the nice guy here. But if the NFL was fixing games in the way that you say, you telling me they wait until the last 2 minutes till somebody on the goal line before they start interfering? What the hell kind of cheating is that? That's the raggedest form of fixing a game I ever heard of. All right, we're going to fix this game, but we're going to wait until it gets real tight on the 1 yard line, then the fix is in. Like, bro, I'm cheating.
That was a play from the year before that the Seahawks ran, and that guy was on the Seahawks the year before, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and recognized
no,
that.
No, he wasn't on the Seahawks.
No, he wasn't. There was he was a rookie actually for the Patriots at the time. I believe that defensive back was it Malcolm Butler? The Titans just cut him actually.
He ended up getting paid and not doing that good.
I thought that he had just played on the Seahawks the previous year.
No, the coach with the pencil in his ear all of the time did a year long celebratory press conference and video talking about how he diagnosed and seen that play a year before. He's been bragging about that ever since, bro. Like, yeah, you know, we'd seen this package before, and we knew, like, yeah. So what's his name with the pencil behind his ear? Got fired
Patricia.
In Detroit last year.
Patricia.
So Patricia's been the one bragging about knowing it from a year before.
Oh, okay.
It was ugly, but, I mean, the way it happened, Seattle wasn't supposed to be down there in the first place. And it was the play to get down there was some phenomenal play. Then it got to, the guy that said he's only here so he doesn't get fined is about to go in the end zone. And absolutely, no, we're not going to do that. We cannot do that.
You got a dude in the backfield that caused a freaking earthquake again in that game against New Orleans, and you got him on the 1 yard line. You don't get him the ball. Listen, I'm going to give the dude that caused an earthquake a chance to win the Super Bowl for me. I don't care what you say. You can outsmart yourself. That's what they did. I heard some fan nods, but you got a dude in the backfield that takes three guys are taken down. That dude caused an earthquake with his run in that game against Seattle against New Orleans. I'm going to give him a shot. That's just me. If it don't work, and you talk about being predictable and running the ball up the gutter off tackle on the 1 yard line, I'll live with that. But when I got to deal with that kind of, you know, saying, you know, mindset, ready to get the ball in the 1 year line to win the Super Bowl, I'm going to give him a chance because he's got that dog in him. You look around in your huddle and say, who wants to win this game? Who's got the dog in him? Marshawn Lynch has that dog in him in spades. I'm going to give him a chance. And I'm going to live with the consequences, period.
No, I agree with you. I don't think anything.
You
wrong
have to remind
with
me that play, JT.
I just think Pete and Bevel got unnecessarily criticized for this. You draw up the play to where you're throwing this quick out, and if it's incomplete, that means the clock stops and you got two chances to run the ball with Marshawn. So logically, to me, I get where people are coming from, but it's not that bad a call if you think about it. Also, remember who was on the defensive line for the Pats at the time. And the Patriots had the number one goal line defense in the league. They expected them to load up and them to be a problem. So, yeah, some of it is outsmarting, but it just wasn't as bad of a call as we think it is because of the result, which was the interception, which is like the 0.00005% outcome. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no recovery.
Least likely thing to happen. It just happened. What do you do?
Run the ball to Marshawn.
The guy that finished up the ball got to the ball before that little receiver did. As a matter of fact, he knew it was coming his way, pushed the boy out of the way, and he was at the ball. Knocked him on the ground and
kicked
the ball. Like he knew.
Yeah. That's what happens when you got dealing with young players who do things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to play that aggressively. He should have been scared of getting the flag. But no, this kid jumps to play. It's an amazing play.
You're right. If he gets him addicted to the inside and goes outside, he's butt naked wide open going to the pylon on the outside.
Yeah.
Butt naked.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't mean to derail it. That's my fault. I'm going to be quiet. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the kahunas to go for the pick there, like, that's crazy. It's just great play by defense, man.
And you see all of Marshawn. I've seen a lot of Marshawn Lynch's career. And that guy, he's got some kind of, he's a madman when it comes to himself.
The dog.
The NFL has got some things to him that I don't understand, except for this one. And
I feel like if everything is blocked, Marshawn gets in no matter what you do. Like, you got to get in the backfield and blow up the play if you're going to stop Marshawn that close. Like, so I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Now, he's a load, especially me.
Yep.
That dude's falling forward on everybody. Like,
correct.
Yeah. He'd be right angry. It's like Adrian Peterson's running angry. Like, come tackle me.
Yep, super angry.
What you mean, used to? Adrian Peterson plan on stealing somebody's job next year.
That's true. He doesn't run as angry as I'm saying. I know he's fresh in the league. That dude was like, he used to come through like, come get me, man. It was intense, man. So
He retired my man, Robert Swift, from Ohio State. They had Robert Swift, who was a 1,300-yard rusher, and they still took Adrian Peterson with the 7th pick in the draft. I was like, wait, but you got somebody that's good. Bye-bye, Robert Swift. Goodbye. See you.
I still remember that draft, too, JQ, man, because I think the Falcons were looking at the Adrian Peterson, too. And then, you know, obviously the Vikings kind of messed around and picked in front of us and, you know, we ended up getting freaking some defensive man from freaking Indiana or something stupid, you know. Jamal Anderson.
Wait, whoa. What kind of raiding party y'all have happening in Portland? Y'all got light splash and shit? Y'all got, you know, 50 10? That's happening out there in Portland? What's going on back there? I thought it was light splash behind. I was like, oh, party? Hey.
Curtis was getting his last dance. Sorry, guys. No,
y'all was about to do my kiss.
Oh, my God.
I was about to do my kiss.
I know y'all happy,
Gary.
TJ's back.
Man, Listen, there wasn't ever flash of light going on by the curse. I said, whoa, wait.
I thought some flash of light, right? Too. Dude, I'm like, what's going on back there? You know, it's all good. Oh, man.
They going all the way in. They said, let's have you say Patrick's
well,
Day.
That's what you get when you buy cheap stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. All right. Rob, let's wrap up the show, man. We've officially, happy since Pat and Eddie, y'all go ahead and get Rob. Let's wrap up the show, Rob.
Get my I'm gonna go get my glow sticks. I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead, man.
117,
gentlemen. We had a great edition.
A good game here, fellas. Sorry, Rob.
No, I'm sorry. What happened?
117-113, New Orleans and Portland is going down tonight. C.J. McCollum is back. Dame's got 40. It's going down, bro. Check it out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow. Like my Pelicans, man. We have an 18-point lead, not 4 points, bro, I tell you.
It's going to be Dame time. 3 minutes
Uh-oh.
And 30 seconds.
Uh-oh.
Dame time.
Uh-oh.
Game time.
Ruh-roh. Game
time.
Go ahead,
Rob.
Unbelievable.
Here they come. Here they come.
You got 40-some points already. I guess the only good thing is he's on one of my fantasy teams.
in the show, stop talking about that foolishness.
He said foolishness.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talk Sports with 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night for our friends in New York, for our friends in New Jersey, Charlotte, Atlanta, Miami. We're going to be 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. Central Time Zone, 10 p.m. for you. Chicago, send me some deep dish pizza. You know, 10 p.m. for you next week. New Orleans, Little Rock, Arkansas, 10 p.m. Albuquerque, Denver, tune in, 9 p.m. And for our friends in Fresno, California, tune in at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Fresno State, where y'all at? Dial in next week.
Straight out of Fresno.
8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Let's go out to
Jackson, Mississippi, or California. I've been there. Trust me.
It's so true.
Mary Collins is in Jackson, Mississippi, and California. I came with you, Rob.
It is. I've been there multiple times. We love y'all, Fresno.
And Curtis has got to get back to his last dance. So,
Man. Oh, man, that's where it tears right there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He called that shit the Mississippi of the West.
I still got stuff
And then shout him out afterwards after he just set him on fire. That's like that Mark Jackson thing. With all due respect. With all due respect.
With all due respect.
I still love you,
Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh, I'm going to bed. Good night, y'all. I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing after that. I'm done.
That man said, with all due respect, I hit Savannah out of the park. Like, what?
Have a good one this week, fellas. Yeah. Get your lap dance in there, Curtis. Get your lap dance in there.
Good night, guys.
See you next week, bro. Yeah. I don't know what's happening right now. Peace.
Oh, good night.
Good night, peace.